content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Kiplinger Personal Finance and also continue readings from the book Money Hacks. Our first article from Kiplinger Personal Finance: Can Buy Now, Pay Later plans help you build credit? Buy Now, Pay Later has become an increasingly popular way to buy everything from shoes to airline tickets, and some loans are starting to show up on credit reports. Apple recently announced that loans made through its Buy Now, Pay Later program will be reported to Experian, a major credit reporting company. If more lenders follow Apple's lead, the change could help consumers who use these loans to build a credit history, but it could hurt their credit scores too. Buy Now, Pay Later services allow consumers to spread payments on their purchases over a few weeks or months, typically without interest if payments are made on time. Unlike layaway plans of the past, which required buyers to wait to claim a purchase until they had paid it off, Buy Now, Pay Later provides instant gratification, which has made the loans popular with consumers. More than 40% of U.S. adults have used at least one Buy Now, Pay Later service, according to a survey by Bankrate. However, the simplicity of Buy Now, Pay Later plans can obscure potential pitfalls. Fees for late payments can be steep, and consumer advocates worry that the easy availability of the loans encourages consumers to purchase things they can't afford. Nearly 30% of consumers who have used Buy Now, Pay Later said they have spent more than they should, according to the Bankrate survey. Because Buy Now, Pay Later payments usually aren't reported to the three major credit reporting companies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, consumers have less incentive to curb spending and pay on time. Although if you fail to pay for an extended period, the Buy Now, Pay Later provider may turn your debt over to a debt collector, which can heavily damage your credit. At the same time, with most Buy Now, Pay Later providers, using your loan responsibly doesn't help you build a good credit history. So far, most other Buy Now, Pay Later providers, including Klarna and Afterpay, haven't announced plans to report their loans to the credit reporting companies. Affirm says it reports some longer-term loans to Experian, but it doesn't report its plans that offer 4-interest-free payments, which is a common Buy Now, Pay Later structure. In addition, most credit scoring models haven't adapted to incorporate the way Buy Now, Pay Later payments are made. For example, unlike credit card payments, which are typically made once a month and are reported to the credit reporting companies, many Buy Now, Pay Later borrowers make small biweekly payments. While Apple Buy Now, Pay Later payments will appear on Experian credit reports, the information won't be factored into borrowers' credit scores. Experian says, and a credit score is a key measure that lenders use to judge a potential borrower's credit worthiness for a credit card, mortgage, or other loan. Experian says that Buy Now, Pay Later loan information may factor into credit scores in the future as new credit scoring models are developed. For now, while Buy Now, Pay Later services provide a convenient way to spread out payments, consumers shouldn't rely on them to develop a positive credit history. The most effective way to build credit is to apply for a credit card, pay your bills on time, and keep the balance to less than 20% to 30% of the card's limit. And here's an interesting article from Kiplinger Personal Finance. Better than a toaster, the right way to write a check for a wedding gift. A cash gift is nearly always welcomed by newly married couples, particularly those who already have all the appliances they need. But if you plan to give the couple a check, make sure they'll be able to cash it. Here's some tips. Verify their names. While it's still common to celebrate a wedding by congratulating, quote, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, only about one-third of never-married women say they plan to take their spouse's name, and the tradition often doesn't apply to same-sex marriages. And even if one newlywed takes the other's last name, the timing of getting legal documents and bank accounts updated may not align with the timing of your check. One way around this problem is to address the check to just one of the newlyweds, perhaps the one you're closest to, and write, quote, wedding present in the memo line. Watch your conjunctions. If you write a check to newlyweds using both their names with an AND or AND between them, for example, John Smith and Jane Pierce, it's likely that both will need to endorse the check in order to deposit it. And some banking institutions may be stringent in checking identities or requesting a joint account to deposit it. However, if you write their names with an OR, O-R, between them, such as John Smith or Jane Pierce, either could deposit it, says Maribel Ferrier, a spokesperson for Chase Bank. And continuing our readings from Kiplinger Personal Finance, tips for financing a home project. I recently had a call with a client who was looking to fund the construction of a swimming pool at his house. The client had enough cash to pay for the project, but wanted to weigh all the financing options. This is the type of advice we as financial planners are often asked to give. Funding a large purchase should be thoughtfully planned. I always recommend that clients take a moment to consider how a potential purchase impacts their overall financial plan and long-term goals, and I work with them to quantify those impacts. If you decide that a purchase aligns with your goals, then you can think about how to fund it. Here's a rundown of some common options. Cash reserves. Cash reserves are usually the best option for funding a project. However, you must determine whether raiding your cash stash would put its balance below the recommended threshold for covering any emergency needs, say to manage expenses if you lose your job or to pay medical bills resulting from an unexpected illness. As a rule of thumb, I suggest maintaining 6 months' worth of living expenses in an easily accessible account. Investments. Using money from your investment portfolio can also be a solid choice, although you'll want to evaluate the pros and cons of taking out funds for the project now compared with leaving them in your account, allowing them to grow and be used for other goals. If you decide to withdraw from your investment account, be aware of the tax implications. You'll typically owe capital gains tax on investment earnings. Long-term gains from selling investments that you've held for more than a year are taxed at rates of 0%, 15%, or 20% depending on your taxable income. Assets you've held for a year or less are taxed at the same rate as your ordinary income, with rates ranging from 10% to 37%. And a home equity line of credit may be an option. A HELOC, which is a line of credit that allows you to borrow against the equity in your home, can be a good source for financing a project, especially if you can get a reasonable interest rate. Recently, the average rate on a $30,000 HELOC was 9.07%, according to Bankrate. HELOC rates are usually variable, rising and falling based on market conditions. HELOCs typically involve a draw period of up to 10 years, during which you can borrow money and may be required to pay only interest each month, followed by a repayment period of up to 20 years. During the repayment period, you'll need to pay back the full amount borrowed plus interest. If you use HELOC funds for a home improvement project, the interest on up to $750,000 of debt, or $375,000 if you're married filing separately, may be tax deductible. And a no-interest credit card offer could be an option. Some credit cards offer an introductory 0% interest rate on purchases for a limited time, typically anywhere from 6 to 21 months. Applying for one of these cards may be a good way to get short-term financing for a project, but it's important to pay off the balance before the 0% period expires. Otherwise, you'll pay the card's standard rate, which is usually much higher, on the remainder of the balance. Or worse, you may pay retroactive interest on the full purchase amount if you don't pay off the entire balance before the promotional period ends. Retailers, such as home improvement stores, commonly use these deferred interest payment plans on their credit cards. And again, from Kiplinger Personal Finance, an interesting article, Finding Home Health Care. It's important to hire a caregiver you trust. Caring for an elderly or disabled relative can be rewarding, but it can also be time-consuming and exhausting. More than 50 million people in the U.S. are caregivers, according to Guardian Life Insurance, and nearly two-thirds of those individuals have a full or part-time job. If you need extra assistance with caring for a relative, a caregiving professional can help. Before you hire someone, determine what kind of care your loved one needs. If he or she is most independent and primarily needs assistance with shopping and running errands, consider hiring a companion caregiver. While formal training isn't required, some agencies require that the companions they employ have a high school diploma. If your loved one needs help with basic hygiene tasks, such as bathing and using the bathroom, you may need a personal care aide. Standards for personal care aides vary by state, with some states requiring up to 100 hours of training. You can find your own state's primary care aide requirements at phinational.org. That's phinational.org. A home health aide performs simple medical tasks, such as taking blood pressure. A home health aide may also report on your loved one's medical condition to a health care professional. Requirements for home health aides also vary by state, and you can check your state's rules at homehealthaideguide.com. A certified nursing assistant can perform some medical procedures such as wound care and emptying catheter bags. Check again your state's CNA or Certified Nursing Assistant certification requirements at registerednursing.org. Once you determine what kind of caregiver your loved one needs, the next decision is whether you want to hire one independently or through a home health care agency. Start by asking your loved one's doctor for recommendations or resources. Friends and family members who have hired a caregiver may also be able to provide a reference. If you decide to place an ad on a job search site, specify the needed skills, experience, and hours. Ask candidates for their caregiver certifications and for two references from former employers. If your loved one needs to be driven to doctor's appointments, ask to see job candidates' driver's license. Once you've selected a caregiver, you'll need to negotiate an hourly rate. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the median pay for a home health care aide in 2023 was $16.12 an hour. But depending on your loved one's needs and the cost of living in your area, you may have to pay a much higher hourly wage. And using a home health care agency, hiring a caregiver through a home health care agency will cost up to 30% more than hiring one on your own. But an agency will vet caregivers and manage the administrative responsibilities, says Linda Abbott, a caregiving expert. An agency can provide a backup if your caregiver is unavailable as well. Paying for home health care. If your loved one has long-term care insurance, it may cover caregiving costs. Similarly, if your loved one has a life insurance policy or annuity with a long-term care component, you may be able to use those funds. Medicaid covers some home health care for low-income seniors. Eligibility and services covered do vary by state, so check Medicaid.gov details for more information. And this article also coming from Kiplinger Personal Finance. Widows share their strategies. This article was written by Money Smart Women by Janet Bodner. For widows having to deal with a traumatic personal loss, plus the finances and other tasks of daily living can be overwhelming. The best way to ease the burden is to, quote, be involved with your finances ahead of time so you only have to then deal with the grief, says Alexandra Armstrong, a certified financial planner and co-author with Mary R. Donahue of On Your Own, A Widow's Guide to Emotional and Financial Well-Being. Armstrong herself became a widow in 2023, and when I interviewed several of my women friends who had become widowed in the past few years, all three seconded her advice. If you really want to do a good thing for yourself, make a list ahead of time. Keep it in one place and take it out once in a while to add to it, says my friend Eleanor, whose husband Walter died in 2022. That would have made things easier for me. In addition to financial information, Eleanor recommends keeping a record of big-ticket household items. When does the roof have to be replaced? How old are the appliances? What's the contact information for the plumber and the electrician? Access to passwords is also a huge issue, says my friend Susan. When her techie husband John died unexpectedly in 2018, she was shut out of his computer and all of his Apple devices. It took me close to a year and a half to resolve all the electronic stuff, says Susan. A lot I had to give up on. Because Eleanor had access to passwords for her husband's email and other accounts, she kept them open for at least 6 months and was able to monitor them for notices of things she needed to take care of. When all I was getting was junk, I knew I had done my job, she says. And sound advice. My friend Lorna urges couples to think seriously about housing options as they age. She and her husband, Peter, who suffered from ALS, had sold their home and moved to a continuing care retirement community. But when Peter died shortly after they moved in 2019, a CCRC wasn't suitable for Lorna. It took me 4 years to come up with a place I can think of as home, says Lorna. She eventually purchased a house that the previous owner had outfitted to age in place. Susan regrets that she and her husband didn't talk about funeral arrangements. John served as a Green Beret and had bought a burial plot in a military cemetery, but he had never discussed the service he wanted. When the time came, says Susan, the choices had to be solely mine. All three of my friends have found it beneficial to work with financial advisors, and they prefer to work with them in person. After about a year, Lorna switched from her husband's advisor to a new one because I wanted someone who would call me back. Armstrong, who is the founder and CEO emeritus of her own financial advisory firm, is sympathetic on both counts. Any new relationship with an advisor should be personal, she says. A widow should say that up front and ask whether the advisor will be comfortable doing that. Advisors can be helpful for sorting out thorny tax issues, such as your new filing status, any medical expenses for the deceased spouse, and rules for inherited IRAs, which are ridiculously complex, says David Silversmith, senior tax manager with Eisner Advisory Group in Melville, New York. On a personal note, Susan advises giving yourself at least 2 years to adjust to your new situation. I think you have to go through a cycle of holidays first, she says. As time goes on, you feel the loss as an ache rather than a sword through the heart. And our next article is about best bang for your buck at Costco. Bulk discounts. Costco Wholesale may be famous for its hot dog and soda combo. It sells for $1.50, a price that hasn't budged much since 1980s, but the retailer is full of other deals that shouldn't be ignored. The 4.5-pound bag of chocolate chips for about $12 and 2-pack of 48-ounce Jif peanut butter jars for nearly the same price are favorites of Julie Ramhold, consumer analyst at DealNews.com. The chocolate chips would cost approximately $20 elsewhere, and a single jar of 40-ounce peanut butter can retail for nearly $8. She won't shop anywhere else for maple syrup, which costs around 42 cents per ounce at Costco, compared with roughly 63 cents per ounce even at other big-box retailers. Prices will vary slightly based on your location, but you can also snag great deals on cereal and produce such as bananas. Just be sure that you'll be able to get through it all because Costco sells in bigger quantities than standard grocery stores. Those low-cost, hefty amounts really come in handy when you're looking for non-perishables such as shampoo, body lotion, and cleaning supplies. Costco also has cookware and other kitchen items at discounted prices. OXO, Pop Containers, and the Beast Blender are recent examples, as well as bundles of other items that together sell at a better price than at other stores, Ramhold says. Costco's recent Microsoft Surface Pro 9 bundle, for instance, got you the computer, cover, and slim pen too for a much lower price than you could get the Trio for at Best Buy. The clothing section may have a limited selection, but if you catch an item when it's on sale, you're probably going to get a bargain. If you're looking for activewear because you need new workout clothes, shopping at Costco is a really good way to save, says Ramhold. And as we wrap up our episode today, we will continue our readings from the book Money Hacks, which are 275 plus ways to decrease spending, increase savings, and make your money work for you. And we will begin by money hack number 257. And this is in regards to salary. Protect your salary. Imagine how you would perform your job duties if you got in a major accident. In the best case scenario, it's likely you'd have difficulties doing routine tasks, even if you typically just sit at a computer all day. That's why it's important to consider purchasing disability insurance if your employer doesn't offer it. Disability insurance provides for a considerable portion of your income, usually somewhere between 50% and 70%, if you can't work. Depending on your policy, there'll be a cap for how much money you can receive per month and for how long you can continue to receive it. Short-term disability covers about 3 to 6 months out of work, while long-term disability insurance can provide coverage for several years. And short-term disability versus long-term disability. If you don't have a strong emergency fund set up, it can be worth considering getting short-term and long-term disability insurance because the latter usually requires a waiting period before the policy starts to pay out. Short-term coverage can fill the gap. If you're out of work for a year, for instance, you don't want to have to wait until month 3 for your policy to kick in. When you compare your options, look for policies that are non-cancelable, which means that your policy can't be turned off by your insurer on a whim, and that are guaranteed renewables, meaning you can get a renewal on your policy each year without a new medical exam. Whether short-term or long-term, you can expect to pay a premium of 1% to 3% of your income each year for disability insurance. And Money Hack 258, cover your own occupation. Browsing your options for disability insurance, make sure you select a policy that provides, quote, own occupation or regular occupation coverage. This ensures you'll get benefits from your policy if your injury or illness prevents you from performing your current occupation. If your policy doesn't specify this or says that it provides, quote, any occupation coverage, your benefits could be denied if there's any other job you could perform that replaces the same amount of your income as your policy would. Say, for example, you work as a manager in a retail store. After your accident, it's hard to walk around the store and lift heavy objects like you used to. Without own occupation coverage, your insurer could say that you should be able to work at a desk job that doesn't require walking around or lifting anything. But if you've already worked on the sales floor managing a team, could you imagine trying to quickly transition into a desk job at the same time you're recovering from an injury? Well, we're out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to listen to us again next time. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is also available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.